Satan is the longest of all of the parables. Some of the parables are in three Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke. This is a story that's only found in Luke. And it's actually the longest of these parables, these earthly stories with heavenly meanings that Jesus told. Now, looking at the profs up here, if you are younger than 12, have you any idea what it is that we might possibly be talking about this morning? Anybody? If you're younger than, don't jump in, Kathy, I'm sorry, but you're older than 12. Anybody? Anybody who may be older than 12? Kath? Not to pick on you. We're going to be looking, any guesses? Going. The parable of the lost son. So, thank you, Carol, who's just over 12. We're going to be showing a little clip now. Thank you.
The others were those who'd done lots of things wrong. Jesus had gathered an interesting crowd. Some were religious and really quite proud. The others were those who'd done lots of things wrong. But Jesus still treated them like they belonged. The proud people watching were shocked and appalled, so Jesus decided to speak to them all. There once was a man, and this man had two sons, but the younger son longed for a life of more fun. See, he knew that one day, once his father had died, there'd be money and land for the sons to divide. So he said to his dad, "I'll take my share today." And the father watched on as his son walked away. Now where the son went was a faraway land, where all he could want for was always on hand. There was no one to stop him, and no rules to break. He was wild, he was free, till he made a mistake. See, he spent and he splurged until nothing was left. He had wasted his wealth and wound up in a mess. No food and no home, he had no one to blame. And accepted a job which would make him ashamed. He worked feeding pigs in the mud and the muck. He had sunk to the bottom and now he was stuck. And we sometimes end up like he did that day, when we say no to God and we go our own way. Hungry and desperate, his thoughts turned to home, where the servants had more than he had on his own. "Dad," he could say, "I've sinned against you. I'm no longer your son. Is there work I could do?" So with no other option, he got up and left and walked back with no hint of what might happen next. Now, while he was waiting and watching one day, the father saw something a long way away. And without hesitation, he started to run. He was bursting with love, for he'd spotted his son. He threw his arms open and wrapped him up tight. Then he gathered his servants with utter delight. They brought him a robe and some shoes for his feet, and his dad threw a massive, extravagant feast. "My son is alive. Let the parties abound. He was lost, he was dead, but now he is found." In spite of the way that the son had behaved, he was welcomed back home as a son, not a slave. It's how God welcomes us. If we'll just come home, he will hold us and keep us and make us his own. Now, when the dad's older son saw all the fun, he was outraged to hear what his father had done. He refused to go in. So his father came out, but the son would not listen and started to shout, "Look, I've worked like a slave." But then he comes along, and he gets the party when he's done things wrong. "My son," said the father, "I'm always with you. And you know that whatever I have is yours too. But we had to be glad when your brother arrived. He was dead, he was lost, but now he's alive." And the question for us is the same as the crowd. Will we join in God's party, or are we too proud? See, the truth is that we can be welcomed back in if we'll put down our pride and own up to our sin. God knows what we're like, yet with arms open wide, He delights to invite us to come back inside.
Brilliant. I love the fact that Jesus was criticised by the religious leaders, and He was criticised because of the company that He was keeping. They said, Jesus, you're hanging around with all the wrong people. And so Jesus told three stories. The first story was about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And one sheep wandered off, and so he left the 99 to pursue the one that was gone. And the second story was about a woman, probably who had a necklace with 10 coins, and she lost one coin. And so she managed to get a broom and she swept a house bare, and then she found the coin and she celebrated. She called all of her neighbours round and they had a party. And so we go from 100 to 10 and down to 2, a man who had 2 sons. And so what we find here is my first prop, and it's a what? Do you remember these before the internet? It's a holiday brochure. It is a book. It's a holiday brochure, and it's fantastic because it tells you all about far off places. And I suspect that all of us would like to travel, or are thankful that we have travelled. There are places we put on our bucket list, places we want to go, experiences we want to have before we die. But there are people who want to go away, not simply to experience somewhere new, but to get away from something that is old. Now, the reality is that the father in the story had Is that better? That one's off and that one's on. The father in the story had 2 sons. And it was the younger son who said, Dad, I want that which will come to me on your death, and I want it now. What he was saying to his dad is, Dad, I'm really happy if I can live today as if you do not exist. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. I don't just want to go and experience something new. I want to get away from something that's old. And the reality is that God puts us in families, and families bring us great joy, but there's times where families bring us great sorrows and sadness. And you know, there's times where maybe you and maybe me want to get away from something old, not just experience something new. We're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God that we say we love. We want to make our decisions. We want to take our inheritance and squander it on something not that's good, but on something that's bad. Now, do you know what this is? This is dog food. This is from our Sean's dog. It will eat today, but every month there's a delivery. And the delivery is not addressed to the owner, the delivery is addressed to the dog. It's the dog's name that's on the parcel. And there is a beautifully balanced meal. And even a scoop, which means the dog doesn't get too little and the dog doesn't get too much. But I've read the package. And however expensive the food may be, the package says this, not fit for human consumption. And the truth is that we all find ourselves at times in far off places, and we all consume things that we shouldn't. And I'm not just talking about what we eat or what we drink. I'm talking about what we watch or what we hear, the things that we allow to play upon our minds. God has a plan for us. God has a purpose, and it's not to indulge in things that are not fit for human consumption. Now think about the lad in the story. He was a Jewish lad. And for a Jewish lad, nothing could be worse than finding yourself looking after pigs. Nothing could be worse than looking at what the pigs were eating and thinking, wow, that is an option. And so the young man in the story realized very quickly just how far he had fallen. And it came to his mind that even the servants at my dad's house, they're eating well, they're drinking well, they're warm, they're safe, they're not consuming things that are not fit for human consumption. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say to my dad, Dad, I've done wrong. Dad, you can't have me back as a son. You might not accept me as your lad, but at least treat me like one of your hired hands. You know, kids, I remember being called to the headmaster at school. And I remember walking down the corridor thinking, when I see Mr. Collins, this is what I'm going to say. I started to go over the story in my mind again and again and again. And I want you to picture this son, if you will, going from this far off place, repeating over and over and over again what it was that he was going to say. What were the options when his dad responded? But the third thing we've got here are what? They are Grant and Shelley's binoculars. Blimey. And maybe my favourite verse in the whole of Scripture is this, that when he was a long way off, his father saw him. Why did his dad see him? I think it's because he was watching. I think it was every morning he went out and he strained his neck and he was seeing there was someone coming over the horizon, and he noticed his gait and it looked like his son's walking. And he couldn't believe it was him. But as he got clearer, he knew it was his son. And the Bible says this, that the father ran. Now, this was in a culture where young men wore short sleeves and short robes, and old men wore long robes with long sleeves. And old men didn't run because it wasn't the thing to do. It wasn't dignified. But we find that this man, and he must have looked a sight, he must have looked funny, it was clumsy what he did, must have rolled up his robes, and he galloped towards his son. He wanted to see him, he wanted to embrace him. I love Philippians chapter 2. There's a hymn that the Apostle Paul quotes about Jesus, who being in very nature God, didn't see equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He took upon himself the nature of a servant. And I've suggested this before and I'll suggest it again. The first thing that God laid aside in taking upon himself flesh and blood was his reputation. For you and for me, Jesus laid aside his reputation. This father laid aside his reputation and he embraced his son. What's that? I have used it this morning. It's a little bit of deodorant. But the thing that struck me, and I was speaking on this during COVID, and I found myself in tears as I considered it. But when the father saw the son, he embraced him, even though the son smelt of pig poo. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a story of God's grace for you and for me? He embraces us when we stink of pig poo, when we smell of the things of this world that we've indulged in that are not fit for human consumption. This young man had laid aside his own dignity. And so the father said what? He said, put a robe upon him. And the father said, put sandals on his feet. Why? Because the only people who wore sandals in the household would have been the sons. The slaves went barefoot. And the father wasn't just protecting his feet. The father was making a statement. The son had repeated time and time and time and time again on the journey home, Lord, let me not be your son, but just treat me as one of your servants. And the father said, no, you're my son. You were, and you always will be. You are my son. And he put a ring on his finger. You know what that is? It's my bank card. It gives me access to at least 12 quid. But you see, when the father said put a ring on his finger, what he was doing was giving him authority. because upon the ring there would be a seal, which means that he could make decisions and transactions in the Father's name. And you can imagine the household thinking, hang on a minute, it's all right, it's okay that he's got his dignity and he no longer smells of pig poo, he's wearing a robe. It's okay that he's got sandals on his feet, but don't allow him to have access to the money. You see what he's done before, but you see the Father was holding no record of wrongs. And that's what our God does for you and for me. He chooses to look upon our sin no more. And so we find, what's this? There was a party. There was a party that took place. And just in the previous story, Jesus had said that whenever somebody turns back to our Father who is in heaven, all of the angels have a celebration. And so the household were having a party. They were celebrating. Why? Because there was a son who was like dead, but now was made alive. He was out of relationship with the Father, but now was in relationship with the Father. But there should be a seventh thing. Can anybody see the seventh thing? Otto, can you come and just have a look here? Is there something I've missed? Come on, Otto. So we've got here, Otto, we've got travel brochure, we've got dog food, we've got binoculars, we've got deodorant, we've got the credit card, we've got this. But there's nothing there, is there? But how many sons were there? There were two sons, weren't there? And so it's the first that went away and was restored. But I've got a pin. And the pin represents the older brother. Are you ready? You see, the older brother, he didn't want a celebration. The older brother said this, but I've always been with you, Dad. And you've never slain a fatted calf for me. You've never put a new ring on my finger, or you've never put a robe upon my shoulder. But this is the story. Jesus was talking about not the younger brother, he was talking about the older brother. And he was letting all of these religious leaders who were criticizing these sinful people coming to Jesus, he was letting them know that you're just like an older brother. You see, the reality was that they lived in the Father's house, but they didn't know the Father's heart. Do you hear that? And sometimes it's easy, isn't it, to live in the Father's house. Sometimes it's easy to know the teaching of the kingdom of God. It's easy to know things about Jesus, but not delight in his grace. And actually, God wants us to be a people, not who stand in judgment upon others, but who celebrate. Whoever it is who is restored, who celebrate. Why? Because we've had the joy, we've had the privilege of dwelling in the Father's house. And our salvation is not determined by that. Our salvation is determined by God's grace. And sometimes those in greatest need are not the ones who are living in pig pens. Sometimes the ones in greatest need are the ones in closest proximity to the Father who don't know his heart and his love and his grace and his mercy. Let's just be still for a moment. And maybe you criticize people who don't do it your way. Maybe there are people here and you think your salvation is determined by your own goodness rather than the goodness and the grace of God. You might dwell in the Father's house, but not know the Father's heart. Maybe these people here whose loved ones are in a far off place. And what you pray for, and what we pray for our loved ones who are in a far off place, is that God, in his kindness, would lead them to repentance. And it may be that they're not smelling of pig poo. It might be that they're in big houses with big cars, but they're far off from the Father's heart. And maybe we can just pray together this morning And so if you find yourself in a far off place, or if you find yourself like a religious leader who's judging others, or if you have loved ones who are not walking with the Lord and you're praying the gift of repentance towards them, why don't you stand and we can pray together?